to many inside of it. And we know that that is the case, sir. And yet we then start blaming people who see all of the splendor that this nation offers and all the riches that it offers, but it doesn't offer it equitably to others.
And I'm not. That needs to be addressed.
Well, yes, but it's not being addressed. And so I'm not justifying anybody, you know, in wrong. Mm-hmm. But we got to first fix a society that we know is wrong. You know, when you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about all those things, you know, all of it, at the root of all of it, was justice and righteousness.
Correct.
Which is what we fall short of in our nation.
Which we have implemented principles over the years, Earl, that have facilitated that. You know, when this country was first started, we, our educational system was our parents, fathers, taught their children. Then we decided to go to a public education system, and we turned over the ability to do that because it was convenient. Quite frankly, Earl, it takes time to educate your kids, and it was better to let somebody else do it. So we turned it over, and then we allowed them to utilize that turning over to control what they taught. It got to a point, and we're talking about in the 60s, you very well remember, Earl, that, well, we can't be allowed to teach kids anything about religion or separation of church and state. So we're going to reference, we're going to remove any source of religion. Well, they viewed religion as values and principles. And so they tried to make an amoral society without values and principles. And that's where we have arrived at today, not just on the violence show, on everything. You're talking about, you know, equity. You're talking about taking care of the needy. We have abandoned the very cores and principles upon which this nation was founded.
You know, Mr. Letts, I enjoy dialoguing with you. Can you hang on a moment? We've got to go to a break. We got some callers who want to ask you a question or two. Got to go to a break. On the line, Mr. Michael Letts. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Letts, who is a former police officer. He's also a minister. And, sir, I'm really enjoying our dialogue. I'll say this to you before we go to the phone lines. You know, the majority of the people in this nation don't own guns. And a majority does not support the kinds of gun laws that have been passed in Congress and protected by because of lobbyists and the NRA. The majority of us don't believe in those things. And so the majority of the American people don't own guns, but I just have never been able to understand why, in this instance, the majority is being taken advantage of by the minority.
Well, I think one of the things, Earl, that I would ask you to consider is I do believe the vast majority of Americans do respect life. And let me use an illustration. If you came upon a stream or a river, a child fell in, and a child was drowning, you would immediately seek to rescue that child because you believe in the sanctity and the value of life. The same premise, if somebody is trying to destroy your life or to harm you, I have a moral obligation to intervene and to try to help save your life. And I believe the vast majority of Americans believe that.
I would say the vast majority of Americans, let me put it this way before we go to the phone lines. If I'm in a restaurant and with my wife and some guy comes in to rob the restaurant, I don't want a hero, you know, with a concealed carry or an open carry, stepping in and acting as if he's law enforcement. That the majority of us don't want that because that endangers our lives. You know, the citizen is not law enforcement. No one should know that better than you, sir.
Well, you know that, but I also know the fact, Gerald, in the particular situation you're using. Now, let's just play that out. If you come in and just rob the bank, or rob the restaurant, and you don't harm anyone, then that is a law enforcement issue for that person's actions on robbing that person. But the fact of the matter is, when you are drawing a weapon and pointing it at people, the fact of the matter is there is a good 50% chance or better you will use it, and I do have an obligation then to defend you. Even if I'm not law enforcement.
Okay, so let's use it. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Tom from L.A. Tom, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Well, good morning. First off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and we must never forget that. And, sir, I am a pro-life Christian. That's what I am, and I do believe that the Republican Party is the pro-death party. But I wanted to ask you three questions, if Earl allow me to ask.
Go ahead, Tom.
Number one, is there an issue that you have with the like if we said gun safety versus gun control? Is it the control?
They're two very different issues. Yes, sir, and there are two very different connotations. I do not believe that everyone should own a gun who doesn't know how to use it and is not properly trained. You should have the ability. You should understand and abide by gun safety. That is a very different issue than abiding by gun control, prohibiting you from the right to defend your life and the lives of others that are so precious and valued to you.
So you would agree that if we, instead of said gun control, we actually said gun safety laws, that would actually bring you aboard more with gun safety?
I think the majority of Americans would agree that, I'm going to take Earl's position. You don't want somebody out there with a weapon who has no idea whether you shoot from the rear or from the front or from the behind or how to load it or how to unload it. That's a recipe for disaster. I believe every American would be supportive of making sure there's gun safety.
No, thank you, because I think, honestly, what, for the most part, you know, beyond banning weapons of war on our streets, there is not a Democrat, as an example, that wants to take someone's weapons away if they want to go hunting or, you know, anything like that. They just, we just don't really want weapons of war on the street. My next question is, I am a person, like I said, that's pro-life. I don't believe in capital punishment. I don't believe in, millions of Americans dying of COVID. I don't believe in all of these different things. And I don't want to carry a gun. I really don't. I think I'd be pretty dangerous. But you said that you'd like to have it where for 3 months or whatever, everyone could open carry. So
you have the right to open carry.
Right, that's kind of infringing upon my rights, is it not?
Well, no, let me tell you how I didn't quite finish defining. When I said the right to carry, you mean you have the right to be trained in safety and how to carry that firearm and to be able to carry it should you so desire. Yes, that's the full.
Okay, so not just anybody can just go and get a gun and carry it out in the open you're saying. You're saying that there's gun safety training behind it.
Correct. And I think, again, every American, I mean, I'm talking from my experience in law enforcement, I'd like to have people who are armed that could defend me and can back me up in case I get into a tough situation. But I don't want somebody that doesn't know what they're doing with a firearm to pull it and end up shooting me.
But so again,
well,
that, but
what,
hold on, Tom, hang on a second. So, but again, sir, that is your opinion. There are many other law enforcement who will contradict what you just said.
There are some, but I would also caution you that the majority of the polls are somewhat slanted. The vast majority, and I represent law enforcement all across the country, very few do not support the citizens not having the ability to back them up because we've seen it save lives so many times.
So, sir, I grew up in Wisconsin, a small town of 2,000 people, and, we went to gun safety class. We didn't go to gun control class. So I agree with you upon the messaging of the
wording on
that.
The school system.
I'm sorry?
They used to teach gun safety in the public schools 50, 60, 70 years ago.
And unfortunately, because of some defunding that's gone on in the public school system and moving everything more to the charter schools and private schools for-profit schools, a lot of that stuff has gone away because they've taken money away from the public schools. Wouldn't you agree?
I think it's a matter of prioritizing. I mean, I've served in government for 32 years on council. Put it this way, I'll make a very blanket statement that I think everyone can agree with. We always find a way to fund what we want to fund.
Yeah. And the other question I would have is that, you know, I want to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And I remember when Christ actually was being taken by the soldiers, taken away, and one of his soldiers drew his sword and,
right.
and took off the ear of the other person, and Jesus put the ear back on and said, put away your sword. Do you remember right. that?
Very well. Preached it quite often.
Okay. Okay. Because, well, the thing is I don't understand is that you say that you're a Christian. I mean, I would say that you're more of a Calvinist or a Biblican. But a Christian means walking in the footsteps of Christ. It means acting as Christ acted, not just I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and he has set me free. It's actually done by the deeds that we do, is it not?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. He can respond on the other side. Sam, I think we're going to a break, right? All right. Okay. So here's can you hang on a minute, Mr. Letts?
Sure.
Well, thank you. Got to go to a break. You'll be able to respond to him on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Till you use me up, and till you use me up. Talking about you, useless people. It all depends on what you do. It ain't too bad the way you use me, 'cause I sure am using you to do the things you do.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. A series of mass shootings has lawmakers in Washington working on a gun bill. The House Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing today on a bill that would raise the age limit for buying a semi-automatic centerfire rifle from 18 to 21. But AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani says any House action on guns will be mostly symbolic.
It's aimed at putting representatives on the record about gun control before this year's elections. Republicans are nearly unanimously against it, and any House legislation would have to get through.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm really honored to be joined by a good man. You know, there's no other way to put it. Mr. Michael Letts, a former law enforcement officer and a present pastor, is on the line from South Carolina, and we're having a dialogue about, you know, the gun issue. And Michael, I forgot the last question that Tom asked. You remember what he asked?
I do, and I'm very honored and very grateful for Tom to give his opinion. And let me address his last question was, from a biblical, from a Christian standpoint, you know, we are commanded to be as Christ, and that is true. Romans 8:29 says our purpose in life. We have to remember, we are not Christ. We are not perfect, but we are commanded to be becoming perfect, which means the only way you become like Christ is to have Christ's spirit indwelling within you and giving you guidance and wisdom as the day progresses. So with that having been kept in mind, his point was Christ, at the time of them bringing him before Pilate, when they arrested him, Peter drew his sword, cut off the one of the guard's ears, and Christ told him to sheathe his sword, and he put the ear back on. His point being, violence was not condoned. The point is it was not condoned because Christ knew the ultimate plan is that it would only occur that way, that he had to die for the redemption of mankind. It was not implying, again, as we see throughout Scripture, that we do not have an obligation to protect and to save life. And that is the key. Christ was led by his spirit. If we have Christ's spirit in there, within us, God will give us the wisdom to know when to intervene and when not to intervene. But quite frankly, Earl, with the violence and the just demonic atmosphere that we have in our society today, most people are trying to take lives not for a nefarious or good purpose to redeem mankind, but to try to destroy life. And God expects us to honor and help protect those. Just as I said, God would expect you to honor and protect a child that's in trouble.
So let me say this to you. There's no shortage of guns in our society, over 400 million. There's only 325 right. million or so people. No shortage of guns. The way the laws are configured is where people have a hard time. You know, anybody sure. can buy a gun who hasn't committed a crime and own a gun and not have to be trained in that weapon.
And that's a tragedy.
It's a tragedy, but it's true. Okay, so explain how it makes sense that all of these people can purchase guns and you want them to be able to walk around at some point in time and brandish those weapons as if, you know, it's back in the good old days with John Wayne and those guys. And yet these people don't have to go to gun ranges. Law enforcement has to go and keep their training up to date and others. But the average citizen does not have to do that. And yet we continue to push more and more guns in there. How does that make sense?
It doesn't, Earl. And that's where you and I can shake hands and we find something to agree upon. Let me use a classic illustration. You have the ability to drive. Well, you have the ability to own a car. But because of the fact that we know that vehicle can cause a lot of other consequences improperly used, you don't know how to use it, you run people over, you create damage. We require not that you tell us why you need a car or defend the purpose behind having a car, but you have to go get a driver's license. You have to be trained to use it. The same application here. You should have the right to be able to protect and defend yourself, period. But just because you have that right doesn't mean that you should have the gun and not know what you're doing with it, because you can create more issues than you can help. And that is, I think, the point that we're missing twofold now in this conversation. It's not just that you're trained, but we also must change our educational system and our justice system to make sure that we are upholding law and that it's equitable for all parties and that people learn to respect and value life and authority.
So what educational system are you talking about? Public school education?
Or that is a great debate, Earl. I would love to have the I'm very open to that, but yes, I think public education system is something I think kids from a young age need to be taught. Firearms are not a joke. They're not a toy. They're legal.
Well, why should that be? I grew up in an educational system that didn't have that kind of training because I grew up not in a rural area. I can understand that in a rural area, but in a city. Certainly, they did not teach us anything about firearms. And so in many instances, that's why many of us don't have firearms. Because, you know, when we, going back to the 60s, when I was began my time in the public school system, there was no, you know, there weren't many guns as there are now. And so when we talk about blanket statements about teaching kids about firearms, you know, many of us are opposed to that. That's not the role of the public school system, to teach people about firearms.
Well, I think it's interesting. It's not really the role of the public school system to teach driver ed either, but we do it because we know the consequences of society on people not understanding proper safety.
Well, driver's ed is, I think, a difference. But go ahead, finish your point, and I'll respond.
The point being is whether you're rural or whether you're urban, firearms are a very large part of our society today, and they are largely used in crime and other areas as well. And they're here with us, and people need to understand what their purpose is and what they're for and how to use them.
Okay, so we know what their purpose is. Clearly, they're to kill.
They are to kill, but they're also, but to be fair, Earl, they're to kill, but they're also to deter. Somebody, if you're fixing to steal my chicken and you got a gun to you, you're probably going to leave my chicken alone. I don't necessarily have to shoot you because you're stealing my chicken, but it will serve as a deterrent.
So let me say this. You know, as a person who owns some things again, things, I don't believe that things should have the value of life. That's why they're called things.
That's good moral training, Earl. That's good moral training.
And
where has that gone in society?
Well, so this is, let's go to the phones quickly. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Eric from Tosa.
Hey, Eric, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, my friend?
Hi, Earl. I'd just like to ask your guests really quickly. First question is, and if you can answer these in order, is the first one would be, what do gun owners fear? Because gun owners are always kind of constantly talking about having to arm themselves and open carry and have these weapons on them constantly. What do they fear, if not other gun owners? And so,
Eric, hang on. Let him respond to the first one.
Yeah, two real quickly, Earl. I think the first thing we fear, even beyond protecting our own property, is the inability to protect ourselves against an oppressive or a tyrannical government. You see that happening now in other countries in Australia, that they can do things. If you're not armed, if you can't protect yourself, they basically tell you what to do, when to do it, and force compliance or force your death. And I think that's one of the things that our Constitution guaranteed in the Second Amendment. The second thing is just what we just talked about, the ability to protect oneself, not just from an oppressive government or a tyrannical government, but also the ability to defend your own life and your own property.
Okay, so against other gun owners, because there's no real need to have a gun if someone comes in and burglarizes a home. So, and the first part of your thing is absolutely preposterous. In other words, a comedian, let me say really quickly, a comedian said this pretty succinctly, is that you and anybody making that argument apparently doesn't understand the concept of tanks and rocket ships and things like that will destroy your whole tyrannical government fight. But nonetheless, please don't interrupt me. Let me finish my thought, is that that is... That's an argument left in 1787, because today that's preposterous. Our government is already tyrannical and oppressive and all these things, and all you folks, good guys with guns, haven't done squat about it in these 250 years since. So my primary question was, so you really need to stop making that argument, because it's a preposterous argument, and it makes you sound dumb, to be honest. So
Eric, we don't need to be condescending. We don't need to be condescending, but quickly.
Well, it sounds dumb. I'm not saying he's dumb.
Okay,
it
quickly.
Sounds dumb.
Go ahead.
So insurance, my second question is, you spoke of an inanimate object. I have an inanimate object called a car, but when I turn my key, it's no longer an inanimate object. I have a home that's an inanimate object, but when people step in it and slip and fall, it's no longer an inanimate object. I have owned businesses for years that are inanimate objects, but when someone hurts themselves in my business, it's no longer an inanimate object. So what's your argument against insuring weapons that people own, just like every other item that we own that is potentially dangerous, insuring your weapons, insuring guns? Because I believe that would be something that would definitely certainly curtail the ownership and register and account for all these folks running around with weapons that we honestly, those that choose not to have weapons, have no idea they exist.
Hey, Eric,
so I'll hang up and listen to the call.
Good stuff, Eric. Thank you very much. You want to respond?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Earl. You know, on the issue of insurance, I think that's a question that should be explored and valued. I mean, the question, because of car insurance, what's the purpose behind it? It's to pay for damages. That's certainly something that can be discussed, obviously, but at what point do we draw a line? And that's an open question. There has to be accountability. I think when you talk about insurance, there also has to be the element of accountability. You have to be accountable for your actions. So in other words, if I walk in on a seat that's a wet floor and I'm not careful and cautious and I fall, I realize that what I'm saying is controversial. You should be able to sue them regardless. But, you know, at what point does my lack of judgment and common sense supersede that and mean that you're responsible for my lack of common sense? It's a valid question to be discussed.
You were born, and a lot of this debate about guns, again, is based on where people were born and who were kind of grown up with weapons, you know, and mm-hmm. and it's a part of their lexicon, it's a part of their lives, it's part of their history. And then others, you know, who are in the North for the most part, we weren't born with guns. And so we don't see it as an extension of our lives.
Correct.
And that's where really I think most of this debate and argument is centered on. But I think, I don't know if it was Tom earlier who stated, nobody's trying to take anybody's guns away. But we do know there's some things we do.
Sure.
We do know that there's some things that are that happen with this debate on people's Second Amendment rights to own bazookas and to own five 50 caliber machine guns. That you can do that in this country. It makes no sense. Hang on, we got to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I got to tell you, I really have enjoyed my dialogue and conversation with Mr. Letts. And it is because, sir, that I can tell that you're a genuine person, and you know that carries a lot of weight, and so Mr. Michael Letts, we don't have to agree on everything, but that clearly is something that is rotten in this country when it comes to all of the killing that takes place by the gun. And so, you know, the other nations, you know, I'm not saying that they don't have issues, but you look at a place like Canada, and people have differences, but they're not killing each other. There are criminals in Canada, just like there are here, and people aren't, you know, taking things into their own hands and killing people. There can be a society without all of that. And our neighbor to the north proves that.
Well, I would tell you this, Earl, you know, it's a combination of things. It is what you and I agree on. First and foremost, it's the heart issue. And, you know, the compassion and love and values and principles. These problems become significantly reduced. We have done a very poor job in accomplishing America. And there are a lot of changes that need to be made. And a lot of open debate needs to be held, civilized debate. That's why I value so much what you and I have been able to do today. There may be some differences and maybe some ability to see other points of view. But the bottom line is we have to hold people accountable for their actions, whether it's gun ownership or whether it's crimes being committed. You have to be held accountable. That is a very tenet of biblical principle, is you are accountable for your behavior.
So if that was just in America, I would agree with you. Because somebody who is wealthy beyond means lives by a different set of rules in this country. And so we can't talk about justice if it's not meted out equitably.
And, I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay, so but yet that's where we are. Justice is for those who can afford it.
That's true, but justice is also, or we have an obligation, regardless of our social standing, financial standing, to be a light. Scripture is very clear about that, and we cannot allow our voices to be silenced. We must speak out. That's why I'm enjoying being on your show. We must speak out and declare the truth.
You know, the other part of it is when we talk about this nation and what's supposed to make it so special is that we are tolerant of everybody's beliefs. But we are not.
That doesn't seem to be very evident anymore, is it?
No, but we are not. And right. And so I don't know if we ever were, but part of all of this is, you know, we can talk about it from a Christian perspective, but there are other religious beliefs in our country. And what makes our country supposedly what it is the fact that we tolerate the differences of people in the society. But that's what we tout, but we really don't. But because if I'm from a different philosophical belief or understanding, or if I'm not a person who has all those things, then my life is worth less in this society. And that's why I always push back on when people start talking about, you know, Christianity and all of those things about this country, because I know a little something about that, and sure. and what I see is as far away from that as, you know, the North Pole is from the South Pole.
Well, I think, Earl, to expound upon what you're saying, is we are and should be tolerant of others' religious viewpoints. But let me tell you what I mean by that, whether you're talking about Christianity or anything else. The basic values and principles are sanctity and respect for human life. We do not openly acknowledge, recognize, and tolerate religious institutions who believe in child worship. I mean, you know, child sacrificing and publicly do that kind of stuff. We don't support that in this country. We support, and we have, you can have different religious viewpoints, but the values are the same, and that's the sanctity of human life. And that's something we're losing.
You know, sir, our nation is as well armed as any other nation on the planet.
Probably better armed than any other nation on the planet.
Yeah, and yet we keep seeing that as the way, when it is not the way. And to destroy other human beings is not the way, because we have the capabilities to do that. You know, I'll say this. The constant differences between so many of us in our nation, at the root of it is the fact that our freedoms sometimes put us in a situation where we elevate ourselves above others, and we do that based on things that just make no sense at all. Well, color, our nationality, you know, the amount of money we have in the bank, you know, our educations, none of those things really matter in the overall scheme of what this life really is. And
and
how short a period of time we're on this earth. Give us some hope that before we let you go, give us some hope about whether or not we can get that to change.
I believe we can. I believe we have a history, not just in America, but in this world. But there is hope, and there is values and principles. And it's a matter of setting aside our differences and working together collectively for the protection and sanctity of life. There's going to be different ways that we believe that we should accomplish that. But if our goal and objective is to first and foremost make sure that we are accountable for our actions, then I believe everything else can pan out.
You know, you keep going back to us being accountable for our actions. And in a society, you can't have that without people being accountable for their actions. And that starts at the very top, and it should start at the very top and go all the way down to the bottom.
And that's why it's important for you and I, Earl, to make sure that we are not silenced, but that we continue to espouse. There are serious issues in this country, and they have to be addressed, and they have to be discussed in a civilized manner, and we have to seek unity in this country to make it a better place for our children to come.
Mr. Michael Letts, we'll leave it at that. I want to thank you very much for a great conversation. You know, a conversation without screaming and yelling and shouting at one another as if we're children. But sure. I indeed enjoyed your conversation, and we'll be reaching out to you again sometime.
Would be my honor. Oh, God bless, and God bless America.
Likewise. Thank you. Got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.